listener production.
Hi everyone, Sasha Barbagat with you for this special Anzac Day edition of The Briefing. Not many people realise that Anzac Day has not always been as revered as it is today.
In the 70s and 80s, we did see Anzac Day reduce in popularity, if that's the right word for it, but less people were participating. Veterans themselves from Vietnam, I think, didn't feel that they were able to march alongside comrades from the previous wars. So that was the time when Anzac Day was not commemorated in the way that we know it today.
In this episode of The Briefing, we're joined by war historian and host of the Living History podcast, Matt McLaughlin, to discuss the rise and rise of Anzac Day. But first, let's get into the latest headlines from the listener newsroom. It is Thursday, April 25th.
Morning, it's Madeleine Larson here. Hundreds of thousands of Australians have turned out to dawn services across the country, commemorating Anzac Day before first light. The trumpets sounding at Brisbane's Anzac Square this morning. Well, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has remembered our fallen soldiers at the cenotaph in Sydney's Martin Place.
Though Gallipoli's graves may hold them and her whispering waters hide, the years have no power to part you, nor the width of the world to divide. And today, as you stand to salute them, they too will be here at your side.
This year, the Prime Minister was not at the Australian War Memorial Service in Canberra. Instead, he's at the Isharava War Memorial in PNG after walking the gruelling Kokoda track. Well, federal police are assuring us there's no connection with Anzac Day and yesterday's arrests of seven teenagers in New South Wales. AFP Deputy Commissioner Chrissy Barrett has this message.
This activity is not linked to Anzac Day commemorations or any religious holiday. There is no immediate danger to the community. However, the national terrorism threat level remains at possible.
Overseas, a teenager has been arrested after allegedly stabbing two teachers and a student at a school in Wales. And five military horses have bolted through the streets of London, one covered in blood, throwing off four soldiers during a routine exercise. The D's have downed the Tigers by 43 points in their Anzac Eve clash at the G overnight, Melbourne managing a 10-goal second half. And Lee Montagna says he'll keep a close eye on the Bombers in the Savo's traditional Anzac Day clash with Collingwood. The dual All-Australian told Midweek Rub he wants to see if they overcome their inconsistency and finally deliver a statement win.
For me, all eyes are on Essendon to see what Essendon team it is. If they can cause an upset, then we do start to take them legitimately and seriously. If they get beaten comprehensively, you think, oh, it's the same old Bombers. So all eyes on Essendon.
In NRL, three games across two countries for your Anzac Day, starting in New Zealand with the Warriors hosting the Titans. That's before the traditional meeting between the Dragons and Roosters in Sydney, before Melbourne hosts South Sydney tonight. League legend Mark Geyer says it's one of the best days on the calendar.
I remember playing in Anzac Day. It's the most emotional feeling when you hear the last post and you think of those that have been before us and have served our country, and they're the reason we are here today.
And tributes are continuing to flow in for one of rugby league's biggest stars, Terry Hill, who's passed away age 52.
Thanks to the team in the listener newsroom for today's headlines. Next up, it is our deep dive into how Anzac Day managed to overcome obscurity to become what it is today. The first Anzac Day was commemorated in 1916, a year on from the start of the devastating Gallipoli campaign in World War I that saw the birth of the so-called Anzac legend. Used at the time as a recruitment tool to encourage more men to enlist, it evolved to become an iconic day on the Australian calendar. For veterans of conflicts since 1914, it is a solemn day to acknowledge their fallen mates and their sacrifices. For the general public, it's a chance to reflect and pay their respects. While Anzac Day commemorations are impossible to miss these days, be it a dawn service or special events at your local pub, it hasn't always been this way. In fact, April 25th almost faded into obscurity in the 70s and 80s before a campaign in the 90s to revive it. Here to tell us that story is Matt McLaughlin, a war historian and host of the Living History podcast. Matt, thanks for joining us. Let's talk about the Anzac legend and the birth of it, which happened during the battle at Gallipoli in April of 1915. How did the Anzac legend come to be and what does it mean?
the story of Anzac is a fascinating one because of the evolution, but it's come over the last 109 years, it's come a long way from where it began. Where it began was on the shores of Gallipoli on the 25th of April, 1915. Now, this wasn't actually the first involvement of Australians in the war, but it was the first major offensive operation. And I think from its earliest moments, something changed fundamentally in Australia when those first boots hit the shore, because it was really our first appearance on the world stage as a nation. And people back home understood the significance of the landing and the fighting at Gallipoli. And in fact, the first Anzac Day, as we now know it, was actually commemorated 1 year later in 1916. So the war was still raging on the Western Front and had many more years to go. And yet people took time to stop and remember what had happened on the shores of Gallipoli a year earlier. So it's been a long time that we've been commemorating Anzac Day, but as I said at the start, it has evolved over time.
So given the significance of Anzac Day and the events of Gallipoli and what it kind of spawned for the Australian identity, why then did we see Anzac Day start to lose its importance? And can you tell us about the rough timeline of that?
Yeah, Anzac Day has always been a little bit cyclical, and immediately after the First World War, it was very much for veterans and almost to the exclusion of everyone else. And I've read accounts from family members who actually felt quite excluded on Anzac Day, that Anzac Day was a day for veterans to go and catch up with their mates. And obviously we're talking men here, to go and catch up with their mates, reminisce about the old days and perhaps come home a little bit tipsy and in some cases a little bit cranky as well. So for many people in the sort of interwar years, Anzac Day was not a day to be commemorated. It had a lot of baggage that came with it. I think that continued after the Second World War as well, although the Second World War was different in so far as there was a lot more community involvement in the Second World War. So a lot of women served, even though some women had served in the First World War, a lot of women served during the Second World War. And the bulk of people who served in the Second World War actually weren't in frontline combat positions. So nearly a million Australians were in uniform during the course of the Second World War. But the bulk of them were in support roles. And so even though there were a lot of combatants, there were also a lot of people who weren't directly affected by combat. So I think the nature of Anzac Day began to change after the Second World War. It became much broader, because now it was commemorating two wars. It was commemorating a lot, many more people in the community than previously. But then as time went on, sadly, during the 20th century, which was definitely the most violent century in human history, we had more conflicts, more wars. And especially after Vietnam was just so controversial that it changed people's outlook on Anzac Day, and people were tentative to remember previous wars when there was this very controversial war taking place. So in the 70s and 80s, we did see Anzac Day reduce in popularity, if that's the right word for it, but less people were participating. Veterans themselves from Vietnam, I think, didn't feel that they were able to march alongside comrades from the previous wars. So that was the time when Anzac Day was not commemorated in the way that we know it today. It wasn't really until the 90s. I think in the 90s, it really started to see a resurgence, and particularly amongst young people at that time as well. Young people really started to engage in the Anzac story, and that's led to today, where it's a huge community event right around Australia.
Yeah, what changed in the 90s? I understand there was some political motivation. I know Bob Hawke and John Howard both kind of really pushed the idea of commemorating Anzac Day and you know, travelling to places like Gallipoli for April 25th. Why do you think there was this desire, I suppose, to have Anzac Day experience this resurgence?
I think there was a few things going on, Sasha, at that time. So we had a reckoning with our Vietnam experience, for example. It was in the, I think it was 87, when veterans were given their welcome home parade that they'd been denied. So the late 80s spelt a time of reconciliation and Australia taking a hard look at itself about how we treated our Vietnam veterans. Paul Keating in particular was a big proponent of remembering Anzac. He famously went to Kokoda and jumped out of a helicopter and kissed the ground. And in 93, we brought the unknown soldier back from the Western Front, from France. There was a big movement there. In 1990, we had the 75th anniversary of Gallipoli, which was the last time Gallipoli veterans in any sort of number went to Gallipoli. And that was covered very broadly across Australia. So I think in the 90s, we just saw a retelling of the story and a rethink of our feelings about Anzac Day. I think Vietnam was starting to retreat into the shadows a little bit. The contentious issues to do with Vietnam were disappearing. So I think a few things came together in the 90s to make Anzac Day more popular again. And another factor as well is young people started to travel in big numbers in the 90s. So the whole idea of a young person doing a backpacking adventure around Europe really took off in the 90s. And Gallipoli, for many interesting reasons, was seen as part of that rite of passage to go to Gallipoli to stand in Anzac Cove and spend Anzac Day actually at Gallipoli. So I think there's a few, a rather long-winded answer, but I think there's a few things that collided in the 90s to see a resurgence in Anzac Day popularity.
I'm interested to hear your perspective on what it means. In when I think of Anzac Day, I associate it, I suppose, with patriotism, I suppose. I feel like it is linked to our identity. In Australia, I can't think of any like celebrated national days that kind of have any sort of genuine significance to people. Australia Day obviously is completely marred in controversy now and people feel very differently about it. They're either, you know, one way or the other. But Anzac Day, I suppose, gives people a chance to rally behind something that we can all share. Would you agree that is what points to its significance today?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a complicated one, but I think we do need a national day. And as you say, Australia Day has its own controversies now. I think we overdo it a little bit, the birth of a nation story. You know, Australia was created on those beaches of Gallipoli. I think that's going a little bit too far. But there is certainly a patriotic element that a lot of people come together to explore on Anzac Day. It's a simple story. It's Australians putting on uniforms and going off to fight for our country. There's a lot of great elements in that narrative, no matter where you come from. And so I think that it is a day that brings everyone together. Australians are quite unique in our remembrance of military history as well, because it's been called our secular religion, the remembrance of Anzac. There's no other country in the world that commemorates, you know, our veterans and our National Day of Remembrance the same way that we do for Anzac Day. And in fact, in places like the UK and the US, as the veterans pass away, there's a real concern that the stories and remembrance will pass away with them. And so we're very lucky that young people engage so strongly with Anzac Day. I think we have to remember, though, that it's actually not an easy story in modern Australia. You know, there's an awful lot of Australians who don't have any connection with Anzac Day. And in fact, people who, are on very different sides of the equation in a lot of respects about what Anzac Day means. And so I think we have to remember that as Anzac Day continues to evolve, it's important that we try to broaden the church somewhat to include people who might be relatively new arrivals in Australia or who don't have that strong connection with the First World War. But I think my feeling is, based on the response from the public and how Anzac Day is currently going, I think we'll continue to see it growing in popularity. I think more people will turn up at Anzac Day services, and I think Anzac Day will continue to be one of the most important days on the Australian calendar.
I was going to ask you about the future of Anzac Day, and I've seen a little bit of increasing rhetoric around Anzac Day and the idea that it celebrates war. As you've said, there's no other country that celebrates or commemorates its armed services and previous conflicts quite like we do here. You don't anticipate to see that sentiment grow? You think that it'll continue to be popular despite people who have those beliefs?
It's a good question, Sasha. It certainly could be the case that people start to move away from Anzac Day again, that it's cyclical and people start to move away from the idea of commemoration. I think there's a couple of important points. I think anyone that says Anzac Day commemorates war or glorifies war are really missing the point. You know, I mean, Gallipoli is a fantastic example. We got absolutely smashed in that campaign. So it's certainly not commemorating any sort of military victory. Anzac Day commemorates service and sacrifice. It commemorates individuals, and it always has done. It's always been about the people. And so it commemorates people who did what is a pretty major deal, which is putting on a uniform, picking up a rifle and going and actually fighting for the ideals that we all hold dear. So I always get disappointed when I see attempts to bring in modern politics into the story of Anzac Day. So I've seen a number of reports this week about various, you know, current political situations getting mixed up with Anzac Day, people trying hard to conflate a modern political situation with what Anzac Day means. I think that is missing the point. While there's people who are in uniform, while there's veterans, while there's currently serving people, Anzac Day will always be about remembering those people. I think The other thing that's interesting too, though, is Anzac Day is getting more abstract in what it actually means to people because, notwithstanding conflicts that are currently happening around the world, we live in a relatively peaceful time compared to, especially compared to what we saw in the 20th century. If you're a 25-year-old person, the chances of you receiving a letter in the mail from the government saying you have been selected to go and fight for your country, it's virtually nil. We cannot see a situation again where citizens will be required to enlist in large numbers and go off and fight in a foreign war. You know, those days are over. And so the personal experience for Australians is actually becoming quite removed from the idea of military service. At the time of the First or Second World Wars, being in the military was considered a, you know, quite a legitimate career option, like, you know, being a school teacher or a doctor, or, you know, it's just seen as a good career move to join the military. And thankfully, we're moving away from that because the military is now a relatively small group of incredibly highly trained professionals. That is now our modern military. So I think the concept of Anzac Day is becoming a little bit more abstract for people because they're losing that direct connection with what it means, military service, and especially fighting overseas. So I think that does enable people to reassess what it means to them and to change their perspectives on it somewhat. But as I said, I think the important thing is we've got to remember why we commemorate Anzac Day. It's not about military victories and you know, and great achievements on the battlefields. It's about remembering people who serve. And as long as we remember that, I think Anzac Day will continue to be a pretty important day on the calendar.
And quickly, before we let you go, Matt, we had a listener reach out, Travis Toppin, who said he wondered if the meaning of Anzac was lessening with younger generations. Are you seeing that at all?
I'm not seeing it at the moment. It could certainly happen in the future, but I'm not seeing it at the moment. We're actually seeing the opposite. We're seeing young people engaging more strongly with the story of Anzac. I think for Australians in general, the story of Anzac is a pretty simple one to understand, as we've already touched on. That's got a negative to it as well. In some ways, it harks back to an Australia that probably never really existed, and if it did, is absolutely long gone. But having said that, if people just want to feel proud of Australia and the things that we've achieved in the world and just have that feeling of patriotism and faith in Australia, then remembering Anzac Day is a very good way to do it. So we are seeing more and more young people engage. The school curriculums are very good at promoting the importance of Anzac Day and not forgetting service and sacrifice. And we're seeing more and more young people travel to battlefields like Gallipoli and the Western Front in France. So I think for at least the time being, that will continue. Who knows in the future? But let's hope it does continue for some time to come.
A really interesting chat. Matt, thank you so much for taking us through the history of Anzac Day and explaining why it's still so significant and relevant.
Thanks, Sasha. It's been great.
That was Matt McLaughlin, a war historian and host of the Living History podcast. He's just released a special 8-part series on Gallipoli. Thanks for listening to today's briefing. That is all for this morning's episode. We will be back this Savo with a special ep looking at the history of 2UP. Before you go, though, we'd love it if you could share this ep with someone you think might enjoy it. And if you want to keep up with our other content, you can check us out on Instagram at The Briefing Podcast and on TikTok and YouTube. Just search Listener Newsroom. I'm Sasha Barbagat. We'll see you next time.
Listener.